Cody.
Mr. One.
I love me some Daredevil.
I love me some Marvel, baby.
Oh, my God, man. This... Wow, man. I got to steal a line from Top Dollar and say, damn, Marvel, your mama must be damn proud of you, boy. Because shit.
Woo! I know a fanboy's proud because, my goodness, man, this show.
This show, Cody, is... This is like it's been like a great entree for the past 3 or 4 weeks now, man. I'm getting full now, Cody. I don't know if I can handle much more, but I keep wanting more.
You better save some room. You gotta save some room.
Oh, I gotta move some to the side. All right. Oh man. Oh, people. Welcome to the recap, Daredevil, episode 7 and 8. We are the recap crew. I'm the phenomenal one.
Hi, I'm Cody.
And we're here to talk about episode 7 and 8, like I said, episode 7, Stick, and episode 8, Shadows in the Glass. And, God damn, Cody, woo! I can't remember which one I said was my favorite episode, but, man, I think these two might just push it up there in the entourage up there, man.
My goodness, man, you are not lying, my friend.
Oh, man, you said her best on Twitter, Stick Dude. He used to be our Wayne. What happened?
Oh, that's what Wayne could have become, man. He would just stay on his path. He could have become Stick eventually, but no. He had to indoctrinate his Care Bear mentality and shit. Now he's just a soft ass fucking puppy dog.
Yeah. Won some award.
Stick, man. He could have been fucking Stick.
Yeah, won some award. Got some girl. Next you know it, he started loving Star Wars trailers. It was like, what? He loves something? And now he's bragging about He-Man. I was just like, yeah, you're a fucking sheep now. Yeah, you're a fucking sheep now.
Soft, cuddly ass sheep.
Yeah, man. And he's the black sheep of movie spoilers. But, yes, Wayne, we're still going to ride your ass because, you know, he's a pussy.
Yeah, right, we are.
But let me go ahead and give a plot synopsis of Stick, man. As people, if you're new to this, whatever, what we do is we review 2 episodes of Daredevil a week. And I usually recap the synopsis of the first episode we do. Cody does the second. And we like to just talk about everything as what do you think, Cody? Do you like talking about it all as one, or do you like talking about one episode each before we get to the next one? What do you like to do?
I think we should just do the recaps, and then we'll give our thoughts after the recaps.
Okay, so then here we go,
after
then.
The general.
So, we got Stick here. Everybody knows that Stick is based, Stick is the name of Daredevil's mentor. Well, he comes back into town, oh my God, man, fuck, dude. You know, a lot of shows, they can't do those flashbacks, man, but it's something about these flashbacks in here that just, adds that, extra kick to the show. Oh, but I love it. But, Stick, he comes back in to help pretty much Matt Murdock. After Matt Murdock was framed of, you know, setting fire to Hell's Kitchen, Matt Murdock's looking to pretty much clear his name and get Kingpin out there. But Stick comes out and tells him about, what was it? It was Naboo, right? Naboo?
Naboo.
Naboo, yeah. He's he's the Japanese henchman that Kingpin has with him. But we later find out that Stick pretty much says, nah, he ain't no henchman because I think Kingpin even fears him. So I'm just like, oh shit. This dude's a badass then. And it even comes back up in episode 8 when Wesley tells him about him a little bit. And he's just like, yeah, that motherfucker doesn't offer us anything. But Stick is worried about this threat that's coming, this weapon that's coming into town. And he convinces Matt to team up with him one time. And, you know, Stick's whole thing is, he's pretty much the Punisher. He's like, I don't give a fuck about less bloodshed. Matter of fact, you need to cross that line, Matty. You still acting like some little boy. He's like, I don't know why you don't cross this line. And pretty much, he's Ra's al Ghul's the Daredevil's Batman. Here you go.
Basically. Yes,
yeah.
Analogy.
Yeah, and I think I'm going Ra's al Ghul's side design. I'm sorry, you can't let that fat son of a bitch Kingpin live. He got to die. But they go to the docks to stop this weapon, only to Daredevil to find out that it's a fucking kid. If I'm not mistaken, what was the name of this weapon called again? It was the Black Sky. The Black Sky. Yeah. And I'm thinking it was like some kind of bad weapon. Now, there's been rumors and myths or whatever stuff that the Defendors is going to get into some of the little mystical elements here, and that the Black Sky was possessing something inside of them on the lines of a lot of people saying this episode kind of tied into a little bit of what we might see in Iron Fist as far as hitting those spiritual elements here. And I was just like, I can definitely see that too. And Black Sky, they were making assumptions that there was something in more than just a kid in him. He was actually a weapon himself, if you will. And I was thinking more of devil possessions, which anyone knows that Iron Fist, he deals with a lot of spiritual martial arts demons and shit like that on the Japanese-Chinese side of things. So I thought that would have been a great fit right there. Very subtle and a nice little build-up on this kid, too, because Daredevil... Oh, he finally got his sticks, too. If anybody was wondering where the fuck he's going to get his sticks.
There you go.
Finally got those in play. And it pretty much, the episode ends with Daredevil and Stick having a fisticuffs. And Daredevil pretty much getting his ass kicked again.
Oh, he's getting that ass whooped.
And you know what? This episode also brought us in the light that why Daredevil always getting his ass kicked around when knives are introduced. Because Stick never taught him that.
That's a good point.
Because if you remember in, I believe it was episode 2, if I'm not mistaken, where, I think it was when he was in the dump, when Rosario Dawson first found him, which, by the way, she's gone from this show now, I think. Daredevil wasn't lying when he looked up in the sky and said, fuck you, bitch. Because that bitch was nowhere to be found in these two episodes. Yeah, if you don't remember from episode 2, people, Daredevil's got cut up and everything, and Rosario Dawson was like, you're not good around knives. He's just like, I guess not, huh? And it comes back in here that Matt Murdock was supposed to come back for training, and then Stick just left the town for like the past 20 years or whatever. He never trained him how to deal with knives and shit like that. I was just like, no wonder he sucks with knives. Cody!
Yes, sir.
Why we go ahead and give our thought? You give your synopsis on episode 8 now.
Alrighty, episode 8, Shadows in the Glass.
Ooh.
So this is pretty much a Kingpin origin story episode.
Ooh.
We see what makes him the man he is today. We open up with Kingpin. He's having a nightmare, if you will. Wakes up, goes on about his day, listening to fun fact here, Box, accompanying Cello Suite number 1.
That's like a wet dream for him instead of a nightmare.
So we see him going about his day. He's making his breakfast, putting on his soup, his dad's cufflinks, and then you see him looking into the mirror, which gives credence to the title of this episode. See, this out of fucking nowhere, is bloody him as a bloody child, and it is pretty fucking jarring, I must say.
Oh man, so good.
Yeah, so good, so good. So that's how we lead off. So we also pick up with Matt being brought into the plan to take down Fisk with Fogg and Karen. And Matt's not too thrilled about them going out and about trying to stop the plan themselves. He wants them to be safe. Let's leave the nitty-gritty stuff to himself, Daredevil, of course. So they also introduce him to Ben's character. And like I said before, he invites them to lay low, and so they can take him fixed down by legal means, as opposed to them trying to beat vigilantes and whatnot. We get to a scene where Daredevil, he visits Ben, and he gives him information on Fist. Cool little scene. Finally, nice to see them meet up face-to-face.
Definitely. Finally.
Yes. Then we get to a series of flashbacks to the 70s, which I thought was pretty goddamn cool.
I almost got lost right there at first when I saw the clothes. Yeah, I was like, the clothes. I was like, damn, what's going on? Hey, is this setting this? I was like, no, this ain't setting the 70s. And then I was like, oh, okay, it's a flashback. I was like, woo. I was like, damn, all right. Threw my whole logic out the window.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was cool.
Well, it's set in the 70s. Yeah. And so we see Wilson Fisk with his father and his mother in their apartment, and Bill, his father, Bill Fisk, he's trying to run for city council. And what he's trying to do is he's also trying to bring up Wilson Fisk and make him be a tough man. Tough man by any means necessary. His father is a real, real fucking prick, by the way.
Yeah, he's like that Italian stereotype, yeah. Whatever that, you know.
He's
like 2 seconds away from appearing in a Goodfellas remake or something like that. You know, it's like, it's like, you know, it's just yeah, this dude's accent is strong as shit. He's like, nah, I ain't dealing with this or whatever. This little boy right here, you know. I was like, man, this is, a matter of fact, we need to replace Wayne with him or something like that, you know.
Really? He's a real wolf.
I love how his wife, or Fisk's mother, is. She just constantly has this look of fear in her eyes. And just like, at first you're like, oh, Wilson Fisk's dad seems cool. I mean, he's just trying to raise him to be a man, whatever. And then, you know, every time you look at her, you go like, but something ain't right about that nigga, though. I can tell by her look.
Yeah, cause when you first start out seeing him, you think, oh, he's just kind of pretty. You don't necessarily think he's like a woman beater or anything like that.
Or a child beater, for that matter, too.
Child abuser, yeah. So later on through the flashback, you find Wilson Fisk got beat up as one of the rival council members' sons. They started talking shit about Wilson Fisk and his father. And so Wilson Fisk is back crying at his house, and his mother's trying to console him. But his dad comes in, and he's like, oh, nah, fuck that. I'm going to take care of this shit, so put on your coat. Put on your coat, goddammit.
Put your coat on. Put the lotion in the basket. And that reminded me of when Alfred gave Bruce his father's watch and told him to punch that kid. I was like, oh, that's so sweet. I said, see, that is what parents do. A real parent would take his kid and go beat that kid's ass. That's what I'm talking about.
Except here is escalated times 10 compared to that Alfred shit.
Yeah, so I must say.
And they go confront that child that beat up Wilson Fisk. And at first, his father is like, oh, you think it's funny, huh? Oh, you laughing? You fucking laughing? So he confronts, he grabs his ass, pushes him up against the wall, he throws him to the ground, and starts beating him up with a fucking bat. I'm like, holy shit. Then he tells Wilson, hey, kick him.
Quarter! And then, you know, if you looked really hard in the background, you would have saw Jigsaw. Raise your armies! I think I heard that Uncle Sam music playing in the background while he was marching down the street and shit like that. Marvel Universe, tying in. I love it. hey, saw this little prick right here was picking on your boy? Here, he handed him a poster. Meet me at this location right here. Get your armies together. We getting together to stop the Punisher. Like, what?
Combine forces. We're going to take over the city. Make shit happen. Let's do it.
Yeah, if you would have had me in your corner, you would have been councilman already. Now look what he did to my face. Look what he can do to your face. It's like, I don't even know this Punisher guy. You will know him, though.
It's a little bit hilarious that the kid that beat up on was actually Jigsaw.
Hey, you know, he had an ugly face. No, that was Looney Ben Jim. That's how he became Looney, is when that motherfucker started kicking him.
There you go.
It's all full circles now.
after this, they go back to their house, and Daddy Fish tells Wilson to sit in the corner and stare at the fucking wall. Don't look at anything else.
It's funny how that wall looked just like that painting, too.
Yep, that's why he got the painting, to remind him that night.
Man.
So yeah, he tells him to stare at the wall. Don't look anywhere else. Just stare at the wall. Focus. So he's about to go out, and so he can talk to Rigoletto, this, I guess his crime boss, maybe that he got money from. The Fist mother, she tried to tell him, don't go out there, don't do it. She tried to tell him, stop. Then this is where she just starts to escalate.
Yeah.
He gets angry, and so he gets mad about this. He thinks, like, he's not living up to his true potential because of them. Like, oh, you always tell me not to do this, my son's a big fat fucking pussy and all this shit. And this is not the Fist way, fuck all that. So he starts beating on the mother, beating on her, and see Fist, he's trying to just keep his cool, but he can't do it. Can't fucking do it. He gets up, grabs him, and he goes up there and says, stop hitting my mom. And then the father goes like, yeah, you're not going to fucking do anything. Shut the fuck up. Go back and sit in the corner.
Hit him again. Hit him again. Hit him again.
He takes the hammer and knocks his dad in the fucking head. And not only that, once the dad falls down, he keeps on knocking him in the fucking head. He keeps like, keep kicking him.
And then the intense part happens when the mother says, get the saw. I don't know. Oh, shit.
What the fuck?
I said, no wonder he became the man he was because of his father. Then I thought about it and said, oh, no, it's because of his crazy-ass mother, too. Oh, yeah, it's just get the saw.
I thought she had all her nuts and bolts together in her head, dude. But no. I was like, what the fuck?
And people, if you think that's crazy... And if you think that's crazy, meanwhile, rewind, back to present day time, Fisk's new bottom bitch is the one parading him and proud of him for what he did and telling him what he should do. This nigga has Daredevil has a costume and some sticks. Fisk has the ultimate weapon. It's called a bitch. He has a bitch in his corner to speak for him now, whatever. That shit, I was just like, oh, ain't no stronger weapon than a woman right here. Oh, good Lord. Oh, my God. I don't know about you, Cody, but she was turning me on with that shit. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, you talking about the mother of Vanessa?
Vanessa. Talking about Vanessa. I was like,
I'm pretty sure they heard that white dress help.
Oh, yeah, it did, with that ass hanging out and shit like that. But it was funny because, you know, let's go back to Stick. We'll get into this episode later. So Stick was fucking incredible. That character himself, I thought he was just fantastic, man.
He had me laughing more than any other character in the Marvel Universe, man. I swear to God.
He was
fucking awesome.
I would love if he was to be hired by S.H.I.E.L.D. and work for them. He kind of gets the Avengers and Jape and shit like that. Whatever, you know? But what one thing I wanted to say, though, and man, this was a great episode to tie in with episode 2 of when Matt Murdock's father died in that episode. Because those flashbacks, man, were just fucking brilliant of how Daredevil, or Matt Murdock, how he thought that, you know, he was the reason why his father was murdered and stuff like that. And I love Stick's response to that, though. It was just, yeah, well, guess what? He's dead now, and there's nothing you can do about it. So get up. Get up! And I was like, whoa, this dude is intense like a motherfucker. And he was just like, I need warriors. I need soldiers. And, you know, pretty much going up. And actually, this was a great companion piece to go with episode 8 as well. To see both how both Matt Murdock and Wilson Fisk became the men that they are today. That we know them as today and stuff. And boy, did we see that in their childhoods of why they're the men that they are today. And I thought those scenes would stick when he was training them as Matt. I thought those were intense as hell. I mean, the fact that he told him, hey, your father's dead, so you need to just get up and fight me. Fight me. Don't show some. I was just like, shit, dude. This dude is awesome, and I loved it.
Yeah, he kept on telling him, like, nobody's going to feel sorry for you. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do for yourself? You're going to get up. You're going to start fighting. You're going to make a man out of yourself. Mm-hmm. That was his philosophy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I love how when Stick got to his apartment, too, and started talking shit about it.
It's like, oh, you got silk cloths. That's not good. You're turning soft, man.
I was like, damn, that nigga know you got silk cloth? I was like, shit. I was like, just...
They did that badass shit with the beer bottle cap.
Oh, yeah, he was just like, you probably got German beer. I hate German beer.
You probably got that German piss, don't you?
Yeah, oh, man, their fight scenes together was incredible, too, though.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. Oh, by the way, not to mention at the beginning, we see a Japanese man running at the beginning of this, and Stick chops his fucking arm off.
Before chopping his fucking head off.
Yeah, and before threatening him to chop his dick off.
That's right, I forgot about that.
Because this dude pulls a gun out of a Stick, and Stick sneaks up behind him and just cuts his arm off or whatever, and you see the bones and ligaments in that motherfucker. I was like, oh, shit. I was like, oh, God. And then he said, you chopped my arm off. And he was just like, Stick told him, he was like, it'd be far worse than what else I could chop off. And that dude looked at him and was like, oh God. And then next thing he's just like, you let me live. And then Stick looked like he's walking away. And he just turned around and chopped his fucking head off and blood scrawled. I was like, and that motherfucker took the elevator back down. I was like, oh, damn. All right, then. I never thought I'd be afraid of a blind man. And, nah, man, everything about this episode was just fucking fantastic, man. It was probably, I feel like we're going to be saying this every fucking week, though, now, whatever. It's probably one of the best episodes here. It was definitely Stick. I mean, it showed so much. It really recapped a lot of the past six episodes of just Matt Murdock, the character himself. You know, as far as his training, how he became who he was, how he felt about his father, was his father or not, and stuff like that. I love those little bits in there. And then to see, you know, that soft spot of Matt Murdock when he gave him the bracelet out of the ice cream cone he gave him, whatever. And then to see, you know, the conflict on Stick's face, like, I wanted warriors. I didn't. Pretty much he was training Matt Murdock to be something else, and he realized that he's not the right fit, and it's best that I just leave. And I don't think Daredevil or Matt Murdock sees that or knows the bigger picture, because even Stick reminds him, God damn, kids, you don't know anything about yourself. It's like every episode someone's reminding him, you don't know a damn thing about what's going on.
Right.
He gets an A for effort, though, for trying. Mm-hmm. How about you, Cody?
No, man. Scott Glenn's performance, man. That dude, he fucking murdered this fucking role. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Fan fucking tastic. Terrence Stamp, I don't know what the fuck you were doing with that Electra shit.
Oh my God. Okay. Jesus Christ. Oh man.
This is Stick right here. This is the shit I want to see.
I don't know what the fuck was going on in that Daredevil and Electra movie. I really fucking don't watch it. Like if they introduced Elektra in here somehow, like, for some reason, I feel like I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think it'd be, like, well, obviously, it'd be 100 times better. But just, like, I kind of hope they do, just so we can rid the waste of that shitty-ass fucking movie we had. Like, man, I didn't even hate those movies until I started watching this fucking series. I'm just like, yeah, I'm starting to hate those movies even more now.
I'm sure we got Elektra fixed next season. I'm sure about that.
This is like, hey, you know what? Now, Netflix, she should get her own series.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if you saw the rumor of the Punisher one coming.
Yeah, I saw that rumor.
Yeah, that was just like, yeah, Daredevil is just like a fucking grading stop point to prove if the Punisher can be done on as well, whatever. Nah, man, if he's in the MCU and even more violent than this Daredevil, then his shit. Shit, man. But you gotta have Jigsaw in it. Same actor, too.
Exactly. Same actor. Same accent, all that shit.
Yeah, same accent. Oh, it's acting the same goddamn way, too. Jigsaw's like the Black Mask of the Marvel Universe.
He really is.
I don't know which one I love more, actually. Whatever. Now that I think about it. Raise your army, Sal. That's the greatest fucking line in all superhero book history. Raise your
army. That's a line of cinema, period.
Oh, man. I wish they'd show that movie just in theaters for one day only. You know, just like, hey, here you go, man. I would fucking kill to go watch that again, because, goddamn.
That fucking screening one day.
Oh, man, that movie is fucking classic, people. The dialogue and shit. But, nah, man, I give Stick a high C, man. Once again, another high C. Oh. Who'd you think the mystery man was at the end, too, by the way?
I don't know. I'm assuming it's someone that ties in with Iron Fist.
Yes, that's what I thought, too. I was like, oh, that's definitely got to be some. Because the, I was going to say, the only, if... Because we find out at the end, we hear a strange voice in the background, and I thought Jason Momoa looked big. I was like, God, this dude was fucking huge, dude. I mean, did you see this dude's body mass or whatever? Like, he was damn near the covering up that whole fucking mat. He was just like, Jesus Christ, dude, that dude's a fucking something.
His back took up the whole frame.
It fucking did, yes. His back, people couldn't even fit on the fucking screen or whatever. I was like, shit, dude. This dude is fucking huge. And Stick reports to him, and he asks him, is, you know, Matt Murdock ready? And he's just like, I don't, personally don't even know. Only person I knew that Stick had as, like, a master or something like was Master Izzo. And Master Izzo was an old, feeble old man and shit like that. And I'm going to tell you this right now, people, I don't think that was Master Izzo because he looked nothing like fucking Master Izzo. He was way younger. And there's one character I can think of. Fuck, I can't remember his name now. Who he reminded me of, who he looked like, too. And he was also a Japanese warrior as well. He appeared in an X-Men comic. I think it was issue 112. Forgot his fucking name, people. Okay, whatever. Forgot his name, whatever. But he carries a samurai sword, has the build of this guy, has the long hair and shit like that. So I'm thinking, I thought it could have been him, but I don't know. Well, I don't know if they can do that without the property rights, but we shall see later on down the line when these Defendors come together to Defendors assemble, you know, I guess. Or whatever they're going to be saying, you know.
Whatever the fuck they're going to be saying.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, hey, nigga, blind nigga, come here. shit. Episode 8, man. Oh man, I thought it was gonna be the quiet storm, but yeah, man, that middle half to that ending, dude,
it was anything but quiet.
Yeah, man. What was your first thoughts on this episode?
Oh man, I love seeing Kingpin's upbringing, man. I thought that was brilliantly done. Especially the dichotomy between how the way he is now, mm-hmm. the way he was as a child.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I thought it was one of the best villain origin stories I've seen in quite some time.
Yeah, easily. And then when they show how he gets the one up on Ben and Daredevil.
Woo!
I was like, God damn!
And you know why? Because he had the power of that vagina by his side. I was like, ah! Oh! Wilson Fisk would have never thought about this. And I fucking, you should have saw me at my laptop. I was just like biting my nails. I was like, oh, Ben, if you write this article, dude, you a dead man. You are dead, dude. And then you get on the TV and he looks over and you see Wilson Fisk on TV and you're just like, what the fuck? She's like, wait a minute. What is he doing on TV? He don't get on TV. And then, but before that, what I really loved, though, was seeing Vanessa change his whole wardrobe and shit. People, he has a wardrobe. We see Wilson Fisk do the same routine, put the same cufflinks on his father, gave him the same everything. You wondering, like, why doesn't he change this? And he tells Vanessa this story and shit. And she, the very next day, she not only helps him with his nightmares, she's there with him on breakfast having a good time. She changes his wardrobe and he doesn't even think twice about it. And then next scene you see after that is her standing by his side as he gives a press conference about fucking how Daredevil is destroying the city. I was like, motherfucker! Motherfucker! And Ben had just...
As Ben was typing up that report.
He had just finished it, too. That was the thing. He just fucking finished it and was just going to save it. And then you see this motherfucker on stage. I was like, God damn, dude. He beat you. I would say, you need to get Rosario Dawson back there, though. You got to have that power of that woman by your side, man. They think clearer. Ain't no shit we don't. Oh, my God, man. That was, oh.
They do.
How intense was that? Oh, because Vanessa... What was that, Cody? You broke up.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man. Vanessa, she, my God, she played a nice little hand in that masterful plan at the end of the show, though, man. It was just, it was highly intense, man. I was just sitting there at the edge of my seat going, like, there's so much that could happen in this whole, like, this is like Winter Soldier in the movie universe or the TV universe for Marvel right here, because it just changed the game so much for the whole rest of the series.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude. You notice his suit is getting lighter and lighter. You see that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Suits keep getting lighter and lighter. I mean, because I don't know when He had, when Vanessa helped him with his jacket and he put it on, he looked in the mirror. I was just like, I've seen that color suit on Fisk before. I was like, oh my God. The more episodes pass by, he's starting to look more and more like the Wilson Fisk. You know, I mean, this fucking Daredevil is getting Fisk so close to the books, and even the Spider-Man animated cartoon where he's just getting so close to those. It's almost frightening at some point. It's just like, oh God, because I know how that Fisk turns out. He's a bastard, dude. I absolutely adore and love how this show is connecting most of Wilson Fisk's problems, or why he is the man he is today, based on his childhood, because that was a huge part in the books of like why Wilson Fisk became the man who he was and never took shit from nobody and stuff. And man, I think they've done this better in this show than anything I've ever seen personally.
Fuck yeah, man. Fuck yeah.
Go to so I remember you told me you had some negatives about the show. What's your negatives, man?
Negatives about the show. Did I say that?
Well, I remember you had asked me, and I said, I remember you asked me, and I said, yeah, I have a negative. Not a goddamn thing. That's what it is. Yeah, that's my negative. Yeah.
Well, that'll be my negative, too.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I remember what it said. So, yeah.
These episodes, man.
Yeah, these episodes, man. This episode was fucking fantastic. I'm going to give it a high C because Skype is being a bitch right now, so I ain't got no choice. But, Cody, final thoughts on episode 8, man.
Yeah, I adored it, man. Like I said, love seeing Kingpin's upbringing. Love seeing finally Matt and Ben meet face to face. Also, cool secret seeing that crooked cop Blake's partner had to go inside and actually kill his ass. I thought that was pretty intense. I forgot to mention that.
Especially when he brought up how many zeros does it take.
Oh, yeah, in round figures.
Yeah. Hey, Cody, I wouldn't kill you, but if motherfucker told me round figures, I'd be like, oh, shit.
Say wait, man. You got to go be one. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. Shit. Now, part of me would do, like, you know, I think I would do, like, some penguin shit with you and be like, just never come back to town, Cody. Here's half, man. But I was like, I don't know if I trust your ego, you know?
You better not.
Yeah, I was like, I don't need Kingpin coming after my ass. So you know what? Fuck that.
Yeah, that was awesome. Like I said, that ending, man. That ending, seeing Kingpin beat them to the punch, man. That was fucking flawless, flawlessly executed, and a great way to wrap this episode up. And that leads on to me giving this a high see it. I love it. I love every bit of it.
High see it's all across the board, baby. Woo! Oh my God, Daredevil, why you do this? Why you do this to me, Daredevil? You make me wet inside. Oh,
God. And we record this on the eve, my friend. On the eve of that other Marvel property.
Oh, God. Oh, and people, did you see that? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, God. Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Oh.
I'm sorry, man. Oh.
Oh, I love memes, my Marvel week. Oh, God. Oh, this is truly, truly the Marvel week of all Marvel weeks, man. I don't know how Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tied that in so perfectly to make sure that episode came out this week of Avengers and shit like that. And I was like, oh God. It just, oh, God. Woo! Woo!
Man, as if I needed more goosebumps and electricity running through my veins.
Oh, my.
It just reinforces that even more. Oh my goodness.
God. That was just some... Woo! Just two good episodes of Agent Shield and Daredevil to reinforce that love for Avengers Age of Ultron, people. Oof. It's just also more satisfying, even more now. Oh, my God. But, hey, people, that's been the recap Daredevil, you know? Like I said, we are the recap crew. I'm the phenomenal one.
I'm Cody.
And we're signing out of this piece. Later, bitches and bastards.